Before we do that, I have the honor of introducing IASB Chair Hans Hoogeborst. As you know, Hans' term is coming to a conclusion. Can I ask, please, mute your computers? Thank you. I've always appreciated, more than Hans would guess or even suspect, I've always supported and admired his very direct style of communication, even when it came at the expense of the Basel Committee, the organization that I ran or helped to run for many years. Hans never failed to tell it like he saw it, especially when it came to things like regulatory bank capital or provisioning for expected credit losses, both of which are third rails of global bank regulation. In fact, more often than not, I found myself agreeing with his views. And I looked recently at, I looked through the FT and Hans, I Googled you. And I love some of the quotes. I mean, on ECL, that was a tremendous advancement for the Basel Committee and banks around the world. Hans, what did you say? We believe the model leads to a more timely recognition of credit losses. At the same time, it avoids excessive front loading of losses. That was really a kind of a watershed moment for banks with IFRS 9, the introduction of an ECL framework. In 2016, another third rail, something that the Basel Committee hasn't really touched on so much, but mainly because of the sensitivity, that's executive compensation. Hans said, with regard to executive compensation, he said, more tools are needed to decide whether a company is a George Clooney or a hunchback of Notre Dame. That's, he also said more recently, greenwashing is rampant. So again, Hans has always told it like it is. I'm sure people didn't always appreciate his direct views, but you always knew you were getting the unvarnished truth. Hans, on behalf of the Advisory Council and from my personal perspective, may I congratulate you on a wonderful career with the IASB, punctuated by something wonderfully refreshing, always speaking your mind, giving that unvarnished and very direct view. The world of financial reporting is far better for it. Hans, over to you, please.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for such kind words. I always thought I was being rather diplomatic, but clearly that is not the case. Listen, it has been, these last 10 years, it has just been incredible. I still remember when I started, IFRS was still young. It was still exciting. We were still hoping for the United States to join. And then again, a lot of people were afraid if they do not join, will the whole thing fall apart into regional blocks? And neither has happened. The dream of a single set for the whole world is still on hold. But the use of IFRS in the last 10 years has continued to increase, especially in Asia and Africa. And the fear that the system would fall apart has not materialized. And just look at Japan, where almost every month new companies are still adopting individually IFRS. So if we did not reach the dream of a single set, at least IFRS has firmly established itself as the leading international accounting language. We have become establishment, and therefore we have become a little bit more boring. The excitement is gone. And I would say thank God, because it means we have achieved what we wanted to achieve. In the meantime, we have, I'm proud of my board in that we have succeeded in completing all the big standards, IFRS 9 that you just mentioned, Bill. One of the big miracles for me is still that we were able to complete the leasing standard and without making any real compromise to the best solution. Revenue recognition as a global standard, so important that the top line is basically the same everywhere in the world, also in the United States. And then, of course, finishing IFRS 17 after more than 20 years of work. I will not be able to finish the primary financial statements project, but it is really important, and investors have been waiting too long for it, but they are now very enthusiastic about what they're going to get. And in all these years, I have really thoroughly enjoyed working with the advisory council. My first chairman was Paul Cherry, our Canadian friend, and it took us some time to establish a really good and friendly relationship. But you know, the relationship between the ISB and the advisory council soon was really good, and that has not changed. Not under Joanna Perry with her lively chairmanship. And not with you, Bill, who's also doing a really good job. The change, the nature of the council, of course, changed a lot. But I think that has gone very well. We have never run out of topics. It has not led to less discussion, and your strategic insights are extremely valuable. I think the best example of that were the very good discussions that we had on the sustainability standards, the idea of the IFRS Foundation to create a new sustainability standards board. Those were really good discussions in which the advisory council also showed that you really had insight in the huge organizational and political sensitivities that this enormous project you know, brings with it. And what I'm most grateful for is that I've always sensed an enormous sense of goodwill emanating from your council. You were never uncritical or cheerleading the IFRS Foundation or the ISB. But your attitude was always extremely positive and supportive, and that's what we need. I also think it is very positive that we have maintained and succeeded, and I'm very glad that Bill came to the same conclusion. Let's maintain the size of the advisory council, because we can then be incredibly inclusive. And we found a very positive way of working through the sessions, the breakup sessions, to keep the discussions manageable. And that just worked extremely well. The council is also, for us, for the ISB, a very good way to keep the lines of communication open with our stakeholders, with the national standard setters, with companies, everybody. And that is enormously important to an organization like ours. We are not a treaty organization. We cannot impose any obligations. We thrive completely on goodwill of our stakeholders. So that's why I've always sensed it was very important to have a very good relationship with the advisory council. And that was not difficult. It was just a pleasure to do so. So I want to thank you for 10 years of excellent cooperation. I'm sure it will continue under my successor, Andreas Barkov, who you all know very well. And I wish you all the best for the future. And I do hope that with many of you, that our paths will cross again in the future.
Well said, Hans. Thank you very much. Before I, as I mentioned, Erkki is with us today. He's going to give us an update. Before we let Hans go, was any questions for Hans? Any parting advice for him? The floor is open. Hans, remind me, when do you officially step down?
The 30th of June. So less than 2 months from now.
It'll go fast. let's hear from Osman, please. Osman, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Hans, for your leadership over the past 10 years. I like the way that you described kind of it used to be exciting and it's now boring, which is a good thing. I still think it's exciting in a good way, but that's just my passion for accounting, I guess. I just, maybe if there's time, I mean, as you're leaving, I mean, what's your maybe putting it as what keeps you awake at night is too exaggerated. But what's your kind of view of the dangers to financial reporting that you think are kind of the biggest risks in terms of both likelihood and impact?
Well, that's a difficult question. Well, what I have always found most difficult about the job is that on the one hand, you always have to strive for the right answer in terms of financial reporting. And people do not always like the right answer because the right answer might be painful, or it might show much more volatility than you are keen to show. Let's not forget that, you know, management has huge personal and also financial interests with steady numbers. And fortunately, in the past, we're already able to take away a lot of opportunities for earnings management, but it's still there. And so the biggest danger of accounts as opposed to cash is that it can lead to earnings management. And that is the biggest thing that we should strive for, to make that as least possible and to create standards that really force companies to paint the true picture. And I don't see it under tremendous threat. I do see in Europe that there is a good chance that there will be a carve out to IFRS 17, which will allow, if that happens, it would allow insurance companies to mix old profits of contracts that may have even expired, to mix them with new profits, new contracts. So it could very well lead to misleading profit numbers. And those are the kind of things that have always inspired me to do the job, to create standards that really make these kinds of things impossible. And you do not always succeed, and you do not achieve the ideal answer. But if you have the right mix of striving for the good thing and being pragmatic as well, and not get the whole world against you, you can achieve a lot. And I hope we were able to do so.
Hans, you mentioned the ECL leases to at least again from two great successes. You expressed your regret that the U.S. During your term didn't join as many had hoped. What are some of the other during your tenure? What were you able to accomplish that you know, in retrospect, maybe even surprised you that you actually got it done because of the headwinds that you might have faced at that time? Is there anything that really stands out?
Well, I just mentioned lease accounting, which was hugely controversial because it, it increases the balance sheet, it increases liabilities on the balance sheet, and there was a huge lobby against it. And what was the most surprising to me is that in that journey towards the standards, in the middle of the journey, we were making all sorts of political compromises to get the standards through. But those compromises led to all sorts of complications. And what we ended up doing is to find the classical answer again. And when we did that and we stuck to our view, we got it through. That was for me the biggest miracle of the last 10 years. It goes to show that sometimes when you really, sometimes IFRS 17 is full of compromise that, you know, we have avoided, but it was just necessary to get the standard through. But you always have to keep the end result in view. Sometimes make compromises, but never go too far. Always make sure that you're happy with the result and that you think it brings accounting a step forward. And IFRS 17 certainly does.
Hans, could you share with us your advice with Andreas when it comes to dealing with the political dimension? How did you handle it? I mean, you had an interesting background. So
Andreas was a member of EFREC, so he knows everything about politics. So I don't think I need to give him a lot of advice in that respect. All I can say is don't be too afraid of the politics. I don't think that he is, but you should never be too afraid of the politics. I think my background as a politician came in very handy. You have to catch. You need a thief to catch a thief, I did that with relish. But don't be afraid of having a fight every now and then. Just keep the relationships good, make sure that you always have a good story to tell, and then in the end you should be able to reach a compromise that is good and brings accounting step forward.
Well said, thank you. Javier, the floor is yours.
Yeah, Hans, first of all, I'm not interested to thank you for all the things that you have done, because there are many things that I can say. But there is particularly one thing I want to highlight, and I think, Bill, you talk about retrospect. From my standpoint, one thing that definitely has happened, Hans, with you, you were able to bring investors, analysts, users into the main pictures on the IFRS. I was involved with IFRS or with IISB at that time before your leadership, and I can tell you, you have completely changed the landscape and the role of users within IFRS and the participation in the standards. And that's it. I want to thank you for that particularly. There are many things I could say, but to me, as a user, as an FAS, I definitely want to thank you again and really appreciate the role that you have played on that. Thank you again.
Well, thank you, Javier, for these kind comments. This is really the work of the staff, ably led by a couple of board members, such as Sue Lloyd and Nick Anderson. They really put a lot of effort in strengthening relationships with investors, who are, after all, the people who we do our job for. And I'm glad that you recognize that we have made a lot of progress. But I must say, most of the energy was really put into this by the staff and a couple of very motivated board members, who I encouraged, of course, but I can't take all the credits for this.
Well, I will mention to them when I see them anyway, but thank you, and also the investors team is doing very good, or very well. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Javier. Let's hear, please, from Nigel and then Torsten. First, Nigel. Nigel might be muted. We're going to come back to you in a moment, Nigel. Torsten, the floor is yours, please.
Thank you very much, Bill. Also, my thanks and my congratulations to Hans. Hans, you mentioned that IFRS has become a bit boring in a good sense, of course, over the last 10 years. I don't know if I agree, but at least some of the students that I encounter and that we in the European Accounting Association encounter as academics certainly do believe that accounting is boring. And that's also, of course, one of our great challenges. How do we make students enthusiastic about accounting, about financial reporting and the role that it plays? How do we tell them that it's more than a mechanical skill to learn, to get out of the way at the beginning of a degree program? And maybe you have a secret or favorite story or favorite motivational quote for me and for us as educators. Thank you.
Well, listen, great question. Thank you for asking and giving me the opportunity to answer it. Of course, I was heavily tongue-in-cheek when I said that we have become boring, because I find accounting intellectually extremely challenging and interesting. The best example that I've ever seen was a couple of slides that we produced during the development of the insurance standard, where we showed a comparison of one company that was reported both under IFRS and US GAAP. And in one situation, it was in the same year a loss, and in the other one, it was making a profit. and its balance sheet looked completely different. And more generally, the insurance standard, and if you, when you look at the diversity and poverty of financial reporting about insurance activities right now, it is a fantastic example of how important insurance is, proper accounting standard setting is, and to what completely misleading pictures it could result if it's not properly done. And if you show your students a couple of those slides, I think they will be convinced very quickly. I think what my staff will be very happy to provide you with these examples.
Thanks much. Yes,
Nigel?
In some countries like Korea right now, Korea has always reported under historical cost for insurance. The new insurance standard, which they have already endorsed, makes visible that the system is pretty much undercapitalized because they have huge minimum guarantees in their contracts. Not visible now. As a result of insurance, insurance standards becomes visible, and they have taken the opportunity not to complain to us, but to completely revamp their sector and recapitalize it. And that's the right answer. Good accounting leads to good economics.
Bravo. Thank you for the question, Mr. Thorsten. Nice to said, Hans. Nigel, are you with us? I think there might be a technical glitch there. Hans, I don't know if you're looking at your screen, but we've got words of praise and thanks pouring in. Bileng, Giuseppe, BJ, Isabel. Sybil, let's hear from you, please.
I just want to thank personally to Hans. I have been at the advisor council for a while, so I also experienced his great contribution to the ISB. He definitely reshaped the ISB as an international organization and prepared for the future. So personally, I find his communication style quite comforting and motivational. His attitude towards attitudes is the same for everyone. So whatever their role and background, so it increases the inclusiveness and geographical diversification and contribution to IFRS. Thank you, Hans.
Thank you, Cyril, and thank you so much for your support over the years. And I do hope I will have the time to visit Turkey again one of these coming years.
Hans, I've got a question from Nigel. I'll take the liberty of reading it. Perhaps there's a technical problem on his side, but he asks, we usually hear of the work of the board. If you were to put a spotlight on the staff, what would you use to describe their importance?
Oh, well, I'm another question that I'm very grateful for. I already mentioned the importance of the staff in cementing the relationship with investors. But generally, you know, I've worked in a lot of organizations, but the staff of the foundation and the ISB, the technical staff, they are really outstanding, exceptional, very intelligent people. They can sometimes be a bit obstinate, but that's their job. You know, if you are not capable to hold on to your point of view, then you're lost in accounting standard setting. Lots of young women who are just so bright and who can present very well and who are gradually taking over the organization. The fact that it was an international organization bringing people together from all over the world. We have a very young, talented guy working for us from Nepal. I mean, these are countries which still have such a long way to go, and they can still provide us with technical expertise. I went to Bangladesh, where another country that still, has a long way to go. And I saw so many talented people there. And it's a privilege to be able to work for a company, for an organization that brings them all together.
Hans, give you the opportunity to weigh in on your thoughts, US gap and IFRS convergence. Is there any is there any hope? Now, what do you think?
Listen, I have never given up on that hope. In the current chaos in the world, you know, it is a, we live in a chaotic world, both politically and economically. I don't think it will happen anytime soon. But it just, I don't think there is, when we're coming close to the decision of the SEC joining or not, then there was still a lot of criticism in the United States that IFRS was not fit for purpose, that it was being applied very, very divergently all around the world. You don't hear that anymore. I think our status is no longer under attack. And I think that over time, there will be more and more American companies that just want to make the decision to go for IFRS, just like a lot of Japanese companies have done so, not because they love us so much, but it's just such good business to, you know, if you run a multinational company, you want to have one language all over the world. And that's what brings people to us. They know the standards are of good quality, and it is just makes life a lot easier. I think in the end, yes, it will happen, but I cannot predict when it will happen. It makes no sense for American companies to have to find people abroad that still know US GAAP. I think it's becoming more and more difficult. In Japan, there used to be a lot of companies using US GAAP. There's almost none to be found anymore. So who is going to study US GAAP in Japan? Not many people. So I think in the end, I hope that full convergence will happen. Also, because there's so much accounting talent in the United States, and it would be great if we could get them fully on board.
Thanks for that, Hans. Trevor, let's hear from you, please.
Thanks, Bill. Hans, I'd just like to express my thanks as well for your role. I think when you took over the chairmanship, the ISB was having a lot of difficulties in convincing people that they should be moving to IFRS. I think a lot of countries were questioning the usefulness of IFRS and whether how much influence they had. And I think you've successfully managed to navigate through the various political landscapes with the skills that you bring along. I think you've left IFRS now, or you will be leaving IFRS in a far stronger position globally in its use and widespread acceptance. There are still challenges to go, but I think your efforts have been instrumental in bringing IFRS more to the world. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much. And if there was anything that I really enjoyed doing was to take away all the prejudices about IFRS, that we would only be interested in the balance sheet and that we were only interested in fair value accounting. And by the way, demonstrating how historical cost accounting, which has an enormous reputation for reliability, can be much more misleading than fair value accounting and needs constant updating. So that's what I really enjoyed so much, to take away all the myths about accounting and about IFRS in particular. And glad it helped.
Hans, I think we will move on. Let me again, on behalf of the council, but especially from my personal perspective, let me thank you, let me congratulate you for this fantastic term that you've had. Everything you've done for the IFRS Foundation and for the board, and personally, I've benefited from our many years of association, and I thank you sincerely from a personal perspective. We wish you nothing but the best, and as Vijay said, in these next innings. Thank you, Han.
And all right. Thank
you. I look forward to when our paths will next cross.
Thank you. I look forward to that, and I really enjoyed working with you even before you were chair of this committee, of this council. Thank you.
Thank you, Hans.